The Hershkovich family, Le'ilu Nishmas, Moshe ben Yehuda Lev, Nisham Shav and Aliyah, Parnas Hashana, Shvi Eschus, the four Shlem, for Brian Delev, Bas Yehuda, Sariella, the Thalhan family, and Parnas Hashana also, Baruch and Hatzlocha for Akiv Yosef ben Natalia, and Eliana Zahavabas Natalia, Sir's titles. Okay. We're entering into the pnimius of one of the most remarkable of the malachis. It's really it's the sheirish of the malachis. We've been talking about that, the malacha of charisha, of plowing of charish. I mean, we were learning the hakdama to the mamorim that are found in Yichud HaShabbos of Rav Kluger Zolgos on Zayin. And before we go into the first mimer, I want to just say a little bit by way of hakdama to this mimer for a few minutes, and then we'll begin. That it was sent to you. You should have that. It was sent to you. I think you have two pages of it so far. But I just want to say a little bit about Teres Hakdama. Teres Hakdama, just the machshava that to set a certain tone to understand what is it that we're entering into. This empty space that we've been talking about from the beginning of time. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, after Tzadik Tesmud Amar Aleph, the Gemara says, "Kololoymed Tyra, anybody who learns Tyra, ve'eno chayzer le, but doesn't review. If you learn Tyra and you don't review, it's doyim la'adam shozereya ve'eno kaitzer. This can be compared to a person who plants, he's zereya, but ve'eno kaitzer. He plants, but he's not able to show anything for his work. He's a rea, venakotzer. So the simple pshat, of course, he learned a lot, but he doesn't have anything to show for it. So alomitar venachayzer l'darmila adam shazareya venakotzer. So I was thinking how, since we see that in regards to limud haTorah, this is just a shvus machshava to get us going into this. That in regards to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, learning Torah, we see that there's zriya and ktsira. There's zriya and ktsira, planting and cutting, zriya and ktsira. Balkarcha must be that there's harisha, because there's no zriya without harisha. There must be plowing to prepare for the zriya. There must be harisha. So I was thinking that in our learning, so we just saw that the Gemara says that zriya of yezareya without, if you're learning without chazering, it's kilo yezareya without being kaitzer. So in terms of our learning, I was thinking and shuvas about Talmud Torah. In terms of learning, what is charisha? What is charisha? What's charisha? So we see that the Zareya is the Maisa of Talmud Torah, Zareya. And Ktsira is to remember what you learned, Ktsira. One of the Chevras is showing me down this amazing stuff that he gets from Zichru, you know, to remember. So there's the Zriya and there's the Ktsira. The learning, and then there's the gathering, the remembering and cutting. So what's Charisha? What's Charisha? So I was thinking that charisha is the kasha that you have. It's when you have a kasha in learning. It's the question. The question is when we're learning. The English translation of a kasha is not the question. Everybody knows that it's something more than that. And not even to say a dilemma or what. There's no word in English when you a kasha. The inyan of the kasha is that in order that the karka, what is charisha? In order that the karka, that the earth is a bas zriya, in order that you can get something out of it, that the ground would be able to take the seed, that something will catch and that it can grow. You can grow from there. So there first has to be charisha. if there is no harisha, then that karka is called karka basula, and you can't really plant anything there. So, by loim de hatayra, by Jews who are sitting and learning, all of us try, each one of us is trying, by people who are trying to learn Torah, but oimek ubi'iyun, there's nothing that's more wonderful than a geshmak kasha, than a good kasha, to break through that karka basula, to turn things upside down, to prepare for understanding that learning in a much deeper way, this akasha. And therefore, I always heard this from my rebbeim, that one shouldn't let the kasha just go by easily when there's a question in learning, not let it go by easily. And as long as the teretz, as long as the answer or the resolution to the kasha is not mamish clear and strong, that you, I remember when I was by Rav Yosher Ber, by Rav Soloveitchik. By the time he was finished with us, it was usually 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours of that brain. Just after 2.5, 3 hours, the kasha, once the Rav went through the inyan with the kashas, and then finally with the teretz, and working through the teretz to watch him go through that and to hear, then it became like there was mi'ikara, there was no kasha. What was the kasha? It was such a clear and strong resolution to the dilemma that we were facing in the sugya, that there was no kasha miyikar. And I always heard from my rebbeim that as long as you don't come to that point where the feeling is that there's no kasha miyikar, it means that you're not there yet. It means that the earth is not yet ready. The karka is still karka besula. It's an interesting thing. The Medrash Tanchuma, which I've mentioned over the years, in Parshas Noach, the Medrash Tanchuma says, is talking about the Chachamim of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Medrash Tanchuma says on Chachmei Torah Shebaal Peh, a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Tes, at the beginning of Perek Tes in Yeshaya. Ha'am ha'holchim b'choshech, the nation, the people that are walking in darkness, ro'u or gadol, they saw great light. And the Medrash is learning this pasuk on the Chachamim who are harving, who are working hard in trying to understand Torah and learning Torah Shebaal Peh. Ha'am ha'holchem ha'cheshech, ro'u or gadol. And what they're saying, what the Medrash is saying is, the choshech, the darkness is the kasha. When you're learning a sugya in the Gemara, and you're learning this sugya, and you have this kasha, you have this strong question to try to get to the bottom of what's going on in the Gemara, you're in that choshech, you're in that darkness. The choshech is the kasha. And it's dafka because ha'ama holchem ha'choshech, that if you work through that darkness, if you enter into the darkness, many people when they open up the Gemara, the second that there's a little bit, it gets the lights go out, they right away open up the Aron Scroll, or they open up Shadenstein, the Hebrew, whatever, you know, or Masifta. The second that it gets a little bit dark, I remember when we were first learning Gemara in sixth grade, so there was somebody that put out from the Lower East Side a booklet translating Eilu Metzias. There was like a linear translation. It was the first thing of its kind.
Lumner?
Yeah. So it was the beginning of that. It was actually the beginning of something wonderful, but at the same time, it was the beginning of our downfall. But I remember so clearly that there was a bach that had it inside of his desk. One of the guys had it inside his desk, and the Rebbe found this. Saw him looking over there to, because he was afraid he was going to get called on, and he had to go. So he was checking to see, and the Rebbe went over and he opened up. You know, he used to have these desks that, and he opened the desk and he saw this, and he took it out and he looked at it, and the look of disgust on his face, that look of disgust, and he went, fuck. He says, "This you're going to be an Amoritz your whole life, you know. Your whole life you can be an Amoritz." Fech, he went like that. Fech, and he went like, ugh. Now we understand that these people were saving lives, and all the translations, whether it's Steinsaltz or it's Art Scroll, all these are Sifta. It's gewaltig. They're saving so many people. So what was my Rebbe saying that day? I mean, he wasn't wrong. What he's saying was that Ha'am HaHolcha M'Chayshach, he says, the Baruch Shalom wants us to go into the darkness. That's called Charisha. That's how you break through the ground. That's what it means to be Chayresh. To go into that place of the choshech, where you're going crazy, you can't sleep. I remember when the Rav woke up the Chevra in the middle of the night. I mean, I wasn't there, but this was before my time. But I was told that he woke up. He himself went in his robe and his pajamas, the Rav, and he was going around to the dormitory, banging on the doors that everybody has to come back to the shiur room. This must have been in the 50s or something. Everybody has to come back to the shiur room. Everybody used to come back. And the guys know what's going on. They go in the middle of the, it was the middle of the night, like 2, 3 in the morning. And the Rav said, "I have a mahalik in this with you." and they were going, "What?" And he said, and he didn't understand. He said, "You were able to sleep?" He said, "The shiur that I said today, it was all wrong. It was wrong. It was all so far crumped. How did you go to sleep with that?" He couldn't understand how the guys went to sleep, and he had to bring them into the shiur. He couldn't go like that. The love of Torah, not to be afraid to go in the choshech, in the darkness. That's the chalal panu that we're talking about. We're going to get much more into this in the Akasha. But to face that uncertainty, and not to be afraid of it. And to go deep, deep, deep into that kasha, ha'am ha'holchem b'chayshach. The Medrash says this is talking about the chachamim. Ha'am ha'holchem b'chayshach, rohu or godol. The davka, those are the people who are able to finally see great light, not the ones who run to the English. Okay, Baruch Hashem, they're able to understand to translate, but the or godol of Torah. The or godol of Torah is not. It doesn't come so easily like that. The great light of Torah, you have to plow, you have to smash through the karga basula, to turn it upside down and inside out. So I saw in the sefer that there was one of the talmidim of Rabbi Aaron Kreiser. Rabbi Aaron Kreiser, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was one of the big talmidim of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. He lived in Baranovich. He's a huge talmid chacham. He died in the 80s, I think. Rabbi Aaron Kreiser. I saw him once many years ago at a chasna. He was, the people were around him and asking, there was a kasha, he was screaming and back and forth, fighting. And this was a five lamdan, this was Aaron Kreiser. And I saw in the sefer that one of the Talmidim asked Rabbi Aaron Kreiser, "Vos is besa, akasha or the ateres?" I don't have to translate, do it. "Vos is besa, what is better, akasha or the ateres?" The question or the answer. Now, if you would ask that, if you talk to somebody that's not Jewish, or somebody that never learned, doesn't know what it means to learn, so, what's Akasha? Of course, you know, of course I don't really want the question. I want the information. I want the answer. I don't want the question. The question is just an annoying obstruction that's in the way of my having this information clear. But what I would like, what I would prefer, lechachila, is just give me, put everything out there. Not a kasha. So he asked Rabbi Kreiser, "Vos is besu Akasha or the Ateretz? So he said, Avada Akasha. He said, certainly a good Kasha is better than a Teretz. It's better than a good Teretz. It's this Avada Akasha. Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov had gesagt that the Mashgiach in Baranovich was Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Lubchansky. He's a tzaddik. He was a Mashgiach. So he says like this. Avada Kasha. So Baron said, Baron Kreiser said, Avada Kasha is better. Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov had gesagt, as a Kasha, effent oif de kop, un a teretz, vermacht de kop. Translation? He says, Akasha, effent oif de Akasha opens up the mind. That's Harisha. Cracks open the mind. Akasha, he says, Akasha, effent oif de kop, un a teretz, vermacht de kop. And what does it? What does the teretz do? It closes the cup. It closes the brain. Akasha, it's a gewaldige lamdus of a lamda to say such a thing. To say Akasha, Akasha, he says, Effendorf the cup, it opens up the mind. It's plowing the getting through the breaking the soil. The a teretz, of course, on a teretz, he says, Famach the cup. A teretz from machtikov. Once you have the answer, from machtikov, then the brain already closes down. Oh, that's ready. It's finished. From machtikov. And the way that I heard from my Rebbe, Zecher Levar Reb David, and Reb David was a Talmud, a big Talmud from Reb Shimon Shkap. And Reb Shimon, of course, was the biggest by Reb Chaim Brisker. L'malav HaKadosh, that when my Rebbe would speak about a teretz in learning, he would say, Reb Chaim's a teretz. He said, Reb Chaim's a teretz is something else. When Reb Chaim Brisker came to a teretz, and this is what the guys were watching, and we were zeichet to watch happen when we were by Rav Soloveitchik. It was something to see. It was something to see. Those breakthroughs, what was happening, to watch that unfold in front of your eyes, it was something to see. And what I remember my Rebbe used to say is that oftentimes people come up with terutzim, like when you have a chavrusa, and he's like, you know, and you're going back and forth, and there's a big kasha, there's a big question. You can see, like when you have a kasha, a Tosis Akasha, you see a Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha, you know, there's a big kasha. And my Rabbi said that many times the teretz is like a flashlight. And there's a big difference, he said, between a flashlight and when the sun comes up. He said, a flashlight, it helps you get on to the next piece of Gemara. You know, if you had a teretz, you answered up some question in the learning, and the flashlight, it'll make you feel at least entitled to move on to the next part of the Gemara. But it's a flashlight. It doesn't really illuminate the sugya. It doesn't really get to the essence of the sugya. It just helps you to move on, like with a flashlight, and it's very dark and you're outside. You shouldn't get killed. You should be, you know, you should be able to see in front of you. But my Rebbe used to say that. But you can't compare that to the sun coming up. The Chazal already spoke in such a way. Ne'er mitzvah Torah on that pasuk. You can't compare it to when the sun comes up. Is you might be when you're sitting and learning, you come up with a teretz. Or you read the English, or you read the Hebrew translation of the Gemara, and, you know, say the pshat, it's okay. But you know deep inside of you, if you're a person that's learning b'oimek or b'iyun, you know deep inside of you that you haven't really got to the bottom of this Gemara. You just did a little bit of piecework. You're just able to maybe figure out this sentence or this particular segment of the sugya. But you haven't really seen that or you haven't seen that when my Rebbe would say that when the light comes up, he said when you would hear from Reb Chaim, you would hear from Reb Shimon a teretz. They would sit on a kasha sometimes for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, they would sit on a kasha, plowing. Charisha. Now we're going to learn, Mitzvah, as we go forward, we're going to learn that Charisha means thinking deeply. Charisha means to think deeply. We'll see. To think. To contemplate in a deep way. So, when a person is somebody who's able to, not, you're in a chavrusa, and your chavrusa throws you some terrors, and it's okay. But a person who's really learning ba'aymek, knows that davka because of the kasha, the strength of the kasha, the depth of the kasha, that's what the Medrash meant in the Tanchuma there in Noach. Ha'am ha'holchem ha'chayshech, that when you take a kasha and you work it through, and you think about it deeply, that davka, the more intense the charisha, the stronger the charisha, the better the charisha. So ha'am ha'holchem ha'chayshech ruhu argadol. So davka, the results of that learning is an argadol. And obviously you can take this idea, and we're going to see more about this, that there are Jews that have, not just in the Blat Gemara, not just in the Sugya, the Jews who have, and all of us might have, to one degree or another, not just kashas on the Gemara, but the kashas in life. You know, there are kashas, there are things, questions that deep questions about why did I have to go through this. We as a people have very, very big kashas. We are very big kashas on what it is that we've gone through as a people. Ha'am ha'holchem b'chayshech. They are very big kashas. These are big kashas. But what the tzaddikim was saying, what I said a moment before from the mashgiach from Baranovich, that vart is a kasha ef and oif de kap. Akasha opens the mind of a person. Of course, you have to have emunah. You have to be a ma'amin. If you don't believe in the Gemara, then chalila, you could just walk away and say, a bunch of rabbis don't know what they're talking about. Chas v'shalom. But if you believe, you see something from Abaye, from Rava, you see something from Rabbi Kiv, from Rabbi Shmuel, from Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shlokish, and you believe that we have this truth that's hidden in this sugya, there's this truth, this deep and great truth, and you have a big kasha to try to understand this. Hashem is not against people asking kashas. You can't go a sentence in the Gemara without a kasha. And the Baruch Hu is not against us having kashas in life either. With emunah that the truth is here. And with the kasha, what the Mashgiach was saying from Baranovich, that with the kasha, effend oif the kop, it opens up the mind, and a teretz famach the kop. And once you think that you know the answer, again, not if it's the answer, but oftentimes when you feel that you've gotten there, famach the kop, then the mind is no longer plowing. If it's no longer plowing, okay, it could be that you've accomplished something, and it could be that you've planted some nice things, and you're going to grow something nice. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as a person who worked over a sugya in the Gemara, or a sugya in life, or people who work on their marriages. Nowadays you have many, many people. The way it works is two people get married. Mostly what they were thinking about is the l'chaim and the vart, which should only be l'chaim and a vart. This was the big kasha. L'chaim, should the vart be like a vart? Can we say, maybe we could say about parents, $7,000, $10,000? That's already cheap. Well, should we? No, it's not nice to our friends. We have to have l'chaim and a vart. And then when they get to their marriage, so they see their bigger kashas. Then the bigger kashas than the vart, and they're bigger kashas than the gown having this and how many pieces are in the band. There are bigger kashas in life, much bigger kashas. So what's happening because there's been such a fear. There's been such a loss of that lumdus of a Jew who's not frightened by a kasha, who doesn't run away from his marriage, doesn't run away from the Gemara, doesn't run away from the kashas of life, and believes that ha'om ha'olchem b'choshech, that if you plow through this, if you work through this sugi right now in your marriage, it could be there's a chala ha'panui, there's an empty space. There's a certain empty space, and we were talking about this the past 2 weeks, that if somebody's watching a Jew from his window and he's doing an act of harisha by the karka, it looks to him like he's ruining something. The karka is beautiful. The karka is beautiful. The land is beautiful. And this guy's going there with his tractor or with his plow, and he's making a churban. But ha'ama holchem ha'choshech ro'u u'gurdel, the whole hechetimsa that you could grow something from this karka besula, that you could grow something from here, is because there was a charisha. It's because of the kashas. It's not that we grow despite our kashas, but that the Jewish people have such an oitzer, that the whole world are our talmidim, the ones who are able to humble themselves enough to say that they're the talmidim, and that this is a beis hamedrash that Am Yisrael opened up by Maimon Har Sinai, and the whole world are talmidim of Am Yisrael. They understand that Jews ask a lot of questions. And that the question davka is after the cup, the mind opens. And Jewish people have fertile minds. And the mind and the heart open davka with the kashas. And therefore, when the tzaddikim used to say that one doesn't die from a kasha, and they weren't afraid of kashas. But now there's a tremendous fear. And if there's in a marriage, in anything, or the same thing when it comes to sitting and learning, to open up a cipher and to see something that one doesn't understand. I had this argument all the time with guys in yeshiva. When I was there every week talking to Bachem, that the guy said he wants to go to another shiur, can I help him get to another shiur? I said, what's the matter with this shiur? He said, that's not, I don't know, I understand the shiur. I don't follow the shiur. I said, so why don't you try to follow it? He said, I'm already there for a week. I don't follow this shit. I said, you know, your Rebbe's a big Talmud Chacham. You got to work on it. But you have a lot to gain from that person. He's a very special person, your Rebbe. Why don't you try working at him more? No, my friend goes to the other shit. The other shit is much more gishmaki. And everybody wants to have right away, should be lumdis, and should be interesting, and to come out from a shit with a whole interesting thing. instead of the charisha. And because of this akshanis, the stubbornness of Jews, that they're not afraid of akasha, and they're not afraid when they face something which is very hard, to take the plow and to start cracking through and to break through, and they don't have to have right away the answer. And the marriage doesn't have to be perfect right away. And it doesn't have to be right away that they have a terrorist to toss this question. It could be the question's a lot stronger than your terrorist. A lot of the terutzim that we used to have when we were with Harusas, we used to have these terutzim, and we thought they were such great terutzim. And then we would come to the Shia, and then we hear the Shia from the Rebbe, we understand that the terutz was ridiculous, silly, it was ridiculous, the terutz. It was mamash demyonis, terutzim. Every one of us thought they were like little Reb Chaim Briskas, and was saying some kind of a fancy thing, so they're two dinim in the Gemara. And then the second the Rebbe would open his mouth by the Shia, he would say, oh, what was I thinking? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Stam demyonis, just tell why, because you felt like you have to answer the question, because you can't live with the question. But what I'm trying to get across, I don't know if I'm being successful, is that it's the kashas that give us life. The biggest chias comes from the kashas, not from the terutz. Terutz is a good terutz. It's fine. But the kasha, that's refuye ara, to get to the ground and to soften it and to break through and to come to understanding what the inyan is after working on it for a long time. That's something else. That's what he meant, that Rabbi Kreis, when he was asked, what's his besa, Akasha, Teres, he says, Avad. That's the question. Akasha is better. Akasha is better. So, what we were learning last week is that, you know, when Hashem created the world, so he hid himself, right? That Simsum, Chalapanui, this empty space, that Ki'ilu, there is no God. That's what Akash is. And we're going to learn from Rabbi Nachman as we move along that there are Akashas that come from Chalapanui. There are questions that come from Chalapanui. And there are certain questions that have to be left without an answer. Without an answer in our lives. We can't answer. We can't answer. Those people who tried to come up, even though some of them were great people, who tried to come up with an explanation for why the Holocaust happened, the kasha is much stronger than the teretz, you understand? I spent many, many, many years trying to get my hands on every single teretz that was out there for that question of why did that happen. I spent all my years growing up looking for terutzim. I was desperate to find terutzim for them. But finally, I realized that the kasha is a much stronger kasha. So does that mean that now I'm not going to put on tefillin the next day? Because the kasha is a strong kasha? The terutzim were feeble terutzim. Many of the terutzim that were given were not only feeble, they were painful, embarrassing, horrible terutzim that people came up with to explain the mystery of Hashem's ways. The kasha is a good kasha. What happened in those years? A strong kasha. What happened? Is that possible that even that could open up the mind and the heart of a Jew? I believe so. I believe so. Is it possible that there are people who have these kashas and they just leave the sugya, they run away from the Gemara? Or they look for an easy answer and they satisfy themselves with some easy answer only to discover later on as they mature that wasn't really an answer? Yeah, there are people will deal with it in all different ways. But the choice of being a choresh, the choice of being a choresh, and we'll see, we spoke about last week that it means also a lesson of silence. The choice of working on the kasha and being able to silence the mind when you come to that place where there is no terrors, and to stop at that point and to say, Ani mamin b'munei shleima, I believe with full faith, because Baruch Hu is toiv, who made the lokal, that Hashem is good, and that my mind is not able to come to a teretz. And this is something that comes from the Chalal Panui. The Akash that come from the empty space. From that space of the Tzimtzum. And to go on putting on tefillin. And to go on keeping mitzvahs. What about the Akash? Stak Akash. But it doesn't mean that one doesn't continue. And davke ha'am ha'holchem ha'cheshech, that's what Hashem's going to say to the sheiros ha'plaita, that the ones who are still shomer mitzvah, so Mashiach comes, it should be soon, that the Jews are shomer mitzvah, Hashem's going to say to us, ha'am ha'holchem ha'cheshech, you walked through such darkness, you lived through such a hest upon him, you had such big kashes, ro'u cheshech, or godl, and davke hazar medima berini yiktsaru. That'll be a berini yiktsaru from all the kashas. So let's begin. Chayish v'sayit hashtika. Just to start. I'm not going to be here next week, Mishom, so we'll continue the following week. So we'll start. You have it? It was sent to you. Chayish v'sayit hashtika. It says on top of the page, Sidur de Pas. This is from Yichud HaShabbos on the Lama Tes Melachas from Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger. We've had discussive having here in the shul a number of times. He brings first from the Or LaShamayim, Yesh Esa Melachas Bepas, Va'afiyah Hi Medrega Tachtayna. In the Melachas of the 39 Melachas of Shabbos, there are There are 10 melachas of Seder HaPas to prepare the bread, the steps that are necessary, Harisha, Zviya, Zviya, Harisha, all the way through till Afia. But look what he says. Va'afia hu madrega tachtoina. The lowest madrega is Afia, is baking. Now that right away is something which is a little bit counterintuitive, no? If you would ask somebody, what's a bigger madrega? And you're looking at the little seed, and the guy's standing there, and he's going to put it into the ground. What's a bigger madrega? This? Or you point to some kokosh that just came out of the oven, right? So what's the kasha? Of course, the more chashuv a thing is what came out of the oven. So he says, esam lochas bapas, va'afi hi madrega tachtoin. Afia, the baking, that the melach of Eifa, that's Malchus. That's already, here it is. It's done. That's the lowest Madrega. That's the Madrega Tachtoina. Roim is on Malchus. The Charisha, which is the beginning. Again, I'm not going through the whole Indian. Zareh Charesh. That has to do with Etzel and Chutzlaritz. But Charisha, Roim is on the Machshav. The highest highs is Charisha, which is just the beginning. It's a guy standing there with a plow. He's standing there with a thing to knock into the ground. Remez al Machshav. That's a remez, the Erle Shemayim from Ap. That's not the Oiv Yisrael from Ap. That's the Erle Shemayim from Ap. He says that Charisha Remez al Machshav. Ritzar Chodem Lifnais. And in the life of a person, Charisha means clearing away all the stuff that doesn't belong. That's what Charisha, like with the earth, clearing away. To empty out, to make room for machshavas kedoshes, for holy thoughts. Via kli muchan lekabel kedusha utahara, so that he is a kli muchan, like the earth, to receive the seed. He is himself, the person, is a kli muchan lekabel kedusha utahara, to receive kedusha and tahara. V'shefa haba elov miita yisbaruch shemai, and the shefa that comes from Hashem is baruch shemai. That's Charisha. So the soif ma'aseh of the melachas of Pas is oifa, baking. That's the soif ma'aseh. There's no longer any great mystery over here when it comes to baking. Everything is in the oven. It just takes a couple of minutes. The inyan of the afir. But the machshava, the reish is the beginning. That would ultimately lead to that person having the loaf of bread. That's called Charisha. The cleaning, the emptying out. So there can be this machshava. To make oneself into a kli muchen lekabel kedusha tahar. That's Charisha. To make oneself into like the karka that's now ready to receive the seeds. Kli muchen lekabel kedusha tahar v'shefa habar elav mita yisbaruch shema. So Charisha, the Malach of Charisha in Kedusha is about how to do that. So physical Charisha, like we've been saying with Malachas in general, physical Charisha is forbidden on Shabbos. Because the Baruch Shalom wants us to do Charisha on Shabbos, just not with a plow. Different Charisha. In Kedusha, Charisha. All of the Malachas are like that. That's what we're learning. To put down the Sof, the end, the physical pu'ula, and to go to that aliyas ha'olam is, to return to the beginning of what that pu'ula means in its shorish. So we learned that about Zareah, and now we're learning about what is Charisha and the shorish of Charisha. What is Charisha in a person? Which is something that we have Shabbos to do that. Shabbos is for that. Shabbos means don't do Charisha on the field. Do Charisha in the brain. Not on the field. But we need to know what is Charisha. What is Harisha? So he begins, you know, it's silly stuff. Well, Hashem, we'll start the Maimer next time. That doesn't make sense to read a sentence and not to just be left with a kasha. So,
well, but is that fear of the Teretz?
Huh?
Is Afia like the Teretz?
Is what?
Afia, is that the Teretz?
Afia is like a Teretz.
Is that the Yen?
Because the Kashas was all the nights that the farmer was wondering, right, and what's going to be. And after he did all this, and now it's not raining, or it's too cold, and to go out, and he had to wrap up the plants, we could put shmatas around everybody. All of that. And then he had to, and all the stages along with the Boira and the Merakit and the Boira and the Ma'am, and all the stages along the way. Until finally, the Teretz is when he takes the challah out of the oven. That's the Teretz. But what Rabbi Kaiser was saying is, Avadi says that the kasha is better. The question is better. It's better than that. But you understand that people don't want that. And now to work, everybody wants, a boy is already 19 years old. He asks him, how do you expect to support your wife? So he says, right, he's in the yeshiva. He says, well, I'm going to learn for another year or two. And then I'm gonna become very wealthy. And then he'll say, I know guys that did that. I'm gonna become very wealthy. So, legally or illegally? I mean, what do you mean you're gonna become wealthy all of a sudden? Because he already got his eyes on a certain house. You know, he likes that house. Looks nice over there. I was gonna say back Lawrence, but I was gonna say like maybe in Boca. You know, he's got his eyes on a house somewhere, and you know. And his wife, his Goldie, is dressed up a nice way. He's got his guy. And he's like 19, 20 years old. He's already got such machshavas. He doesn't want to go through the whole Sidur de Pas, you understand? He wants to get straight to the challah. He wants to get straight to the challah. Fast food. Not the whole Sidur de Pas. That's what the Rosh Hashiva was saying. He says, Akasha, ah. And I saw this. It was so beautiful by my Rebbeim. I watched them. And we used to see them. I remember watching them. I told you once, I'll end with this. I was lucky to see this once, that we were learning Beya, and Rabbi Yosher Beer was said over a whole shiur, and all Hachana de Rabba, Muktzeh Noyla, the whole Ma'is. He sang over the Gemara, and he had a whole Mahalach for over 2 hours. And then one of the fellows, the big Talmud Chacham, he's a Rashi in Israel, so. So he asked Akasha. I remember this. None of us knew what he was talking about. Because we were learning about Mukta in Masech Debeya. And he asked Akasha from the Rambam in Hilchos Paraduma. So all of us thinking, what's Paraduma? Paraduma. So he asked this. And the Rav listened to him. Very often when you would ask something, you raised the hand, you asked the Rav. He would let you speak, and then he would just continue with whatever he was saying. Well, he didn't react. He just watched you, and then he would continue. And then you just go, oh. Nothing to do about it. He would just continue. But this one, when he asked something, the Rav would listen. I mean, not just listen, he would respond or react. So he said, so he listened to the kasha, and I remember he took off his glasses. And he was like this for like 2 minutes. He was like this. And I don't want to say the name of the Talmud Chacham, maybe he wouldn't appreciate it if I said. But so he said, he's right. He said, everything I said, this is what the Rav said. I was there. He said, everything I said is sheker. Is sheker. And we all had like 12 pages of notes, you know? And then he said, have you heard what I said to you? It's sheker. And we just sat there, and we all felt, we liked it. It was amazing. He said, it's all sheker. And he started to yell at us to tear up our notes. He said, tear up all your notes. It's all sheker. Everything I said is sheker. Tear up your notes. He's right. And we just, you know, he was, you know, tear up your notes, it was tearing things, and then we just sat there. It was something to watch. And then he sat in like this for like another 5 minutes with his glasses off. like this. And he gave another shiur for over 3 hours. A completely different mahalach. This after 2.5 hours. But a completely different mahalach. All different rishonim, a whole new mahalach. And then when he was finished, he looked to that one, to the Talmud, and he said, okay. He said, okay. And then afterwards, we jumped on to find out what's with part. There's only with Eifer, with the Muktzeh, there was a whole thing there. But to watch it, to watch Teresh Shmuel Peh, God was. I don't know if you find this anymore, such a thing. Every time he said, every time he learned the Gemara, even though he gave Shirim and Bava Kama over the years, every time he tore up his notes, physically, but everything he started again, fresh. Where do you find such a thing? Like all new kashas, and new plowing and planting and cutting and. No, Ashrei. This is what it means to learn Torah. Okay, without Muslim.